One. Good morning and welcome to the March 5th meeting of the Design Review Board of the City of Miami Beach. We actually have a pretty short agenda today, and I'm going to turn it over to Michael Belush to discuss the items.
Sure. Thank you, Sarah. So just for the public's information, we do currently have four board members present, including Mr. Diffenderfer, Ms. Meyer, Ms. Buttacavoli, Ms. Gore-Nelson. Sam Sheldon will be arriving late, so until Sam arrives, we'll not be able to take up any items that have variances. They're a little bit further on in the agenda, so hopefully we can start in getting through the items that don't require variances. With that, I'll turn it over to Ferocia, who can provide the city attorney updates and swearing in the public.
Good morning, everyone. Today's meeting of the Design Review Board has been scheduled in a hybrid format at the Miami Beach Convention Center. And applicants, staff, and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually via the Zoom platform webinar. In order to participate in today's meeting, those wishing to participate via the Zoom platform webinar may dial 888-475-4499 and enter the webinar ID, which is 822-7394-1924, or log in into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 822-7394-1924. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon if they are using the Zoom app, or dial star 9 if they are participating by phone. Now, before I swear in those that are testifying, I'm going to read into the record the city's notice regarding lobbyist registration. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you must register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. That includes architects, attorneys, or employees representing an applicant or an objector. You do not have to register as a lobbyist in three circumstances. One, if you are speaking only on behalf of yourself and not any other party. Two, if you are testifying as an expert witness providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in a public meeting. Three, if you are appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to express support or opposition to any item. That said, expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. These rules apply whether you are appearing in favor of or against an item, or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. Now, I'm going to go ahead and swear in those who are physically present. And if you're physically present, please stand in and raise your right hand. Virtual speakers will need to be sworn in one by one at the time of their presentation. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you will be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yeah. We may proceed. Thank you.
So we do have one last-minute request for continuance before we begin on the regular agenda. This is for DRB 23-0958 for 428 South Hibiscus Drive. This was reviewed by the board back in December, and the board had an unfavorable position on the application with the members that were in attendance, and the applicant has requested a continuance for the last few months in hope that we have a full board to review the application. Since we are still short two members, the applicant is requesting a continuance to the April meeting. Would the applicant like to speak on this application? Mr. Amster?
Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Good morning. Matt Amster with law firm of Burke, Overdale, Fernandez, Larkin, and Tappanez, office at 200 South Biscayne in Miami. Just here to ensure that we're continued, hoping for a full board. Thank you. To April.
And for the record, that meeting would be April 2nd. Is there any public comment on the request for continuance? I see nobody in chambers and nobody with their hand raised online. Can we get a motion to continue the application to the April 2nd meeting?
Motion to approve the continuation.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Barcaboli, seconded by Mr. Diffenderfer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. The item is continued to the April 2nd meeting. With that, we can start with the regular items on the agenda. Giselle?
The first item on the agenda is DRB 23-0991, 1600-1624 Alton Road, 1212 Lincoln Road. An application has been filed requesting modifications to a previously issued design review approval for the construction of a new five-story commercial building, including accessory parking and a hotel component. Specifically, the applicant is requesting modifications to the rooftop of the parking garage associated with the construction of two outdoor paddle courts.
And the board will remember that this application, this site came before you last month regarding modifications to conditions regarding the crosswalks on Alton Road and Lincoln Road. The building was actually initially approved by the DRB back in 2016. They're now before you to construct two padel courts on the rooftop by removing several parking spaces. It's similar to the process that occurred, when the applicant came before this board and the planning board to construct the outdoor movie theater on the rooftop of the parking garage. They are proposing two new padel courts that are approximately 35 feet by 66 feet in length at the northeast corner of the existing parking garage. The fencing and lighting is well set back from the eastern edge of the building, approximately 12 foot 5 inches, and proposed the fencing will be approximately 13 feet above the new court surface and the lighting at a height of approximately 17 feet above the court surface. The courts are set back approximately 94 feet from the west side of the property. As we noted in a report, while the courts will be located directly east of the Surface City parking lot, there are residential multifamily buildings located to the north and south of the parking lot that could be impacted by noise and light from the proposed courts. Now, we did include some recommendations regarding hours of operation in a progress report, and that was to have the hours limited to 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily, with a progress report 90 days after the operation commences. However, since the applicant will be going to the planning board, I believe in April, and the applicant confirm, since there is a conditional use permit for this site, and the planning board is under the jurisdiction to review all operational issues and any sort of code violations or code issues. So we included in our final order the conditions regarding the hours of operation and progress report. I'm recommending we remove those conditions as part of the DRB order, and we will review that with the planning board when this application comes before them in April. So today the board should really just be reviewing the design of the courts, and with that, I'll turn over to Mr. Penn for the applicant.
Yeah. And actually, before we proceed, I would like to ask the board if you received any ex parte communications regarding this application. Okay, all right. Thank you. Please proceed.
Morning, everyone. Graham Penn, Burkhauer, Del Fernandez, Larkin, Tapanes, 200 South Biscayne Boulevard. And you're about to see a host of slides about two paddle courts, but I'll be as brief as I can. And, of course, as Michael said, we would ask for your approval with staff's recommended conditions with the modifications, as Michael laid out, removing conditions 2 and 3 of the draft order. So, as Michael noted, we were here just last month on phase 2 of the site. 1212 Lincoln is located at the southwest corner of Alton and Lincoln Road. Two-phase project. Phase 1 is what we're talking about tonight. Phase 2 is the hotel that's under construction. As you can see, phase 1, this is an older aerial, but where we're talking about, I just want to focus your attention. The courts are going to be located on Alton, immediately across from the parking garage of the Regal Cinema, and you'll see that in other drawings. So this is our existing rooftop. Going from left to right, you've got the Future Citizen that's under construction. Then you hit the top level of the parking structure with open surplus parking. In the center, and this is important to why we've located the courts where we have, is a very large raised area with a skylight in it and elevator cores flanking it on either end. And you'll see from the photographs that really blocks this portion of the roof from anything from the west. And on the southern end is the existing and very successful rooftop cinema club operation. This is a view looking northeast from where the courts will be located. You can see we have 1111 in the distance, and right across the street again is the Regal building. This is a view to the west of that same area, showing you that raised area with the skylight that I talked about. That is, again, runs through the center east to west of the parking structure. This is a view looking southwest, which shows you, again, that raised area on the right. The elevator cores, there's, again, that's one of them. That's the southern elevator core. You can see how much taller that is, and that is also going to block the view of the courts and the separation for the rooftop cinema club area. So, and I forgot to note at the outset, David Geller from Anatomy Fitness is here. We're very excited that Anatomy is one of our new tenants. This is their space in the building. There, and you can see on the that area is the skylighted area that they are actually taking on the second floor. So they've got this beautiful new location. Anatomy has been a great addition to this building. We think it's a great addition to this neighborhood. They actually recently just received a commendation from the city commission for their being a great commercial resident of the city, and we think they're going to be a great addition to this building. It's going to be a service for the surrounding residential neighborhood, the West Avenue neighborhood. Again, it's a beautiful facility. If you haven't checked it out, I recommend you come visit it. Plenty of available parking in our garage. So just so for those of you who have never seen one of these courts before, this is basically how the courts are built. They have on the rear is glass or other clear materials, because that is actually part of the play where balls can bounce off the rear. Then the rest of the enclosure is fencing. The surfacing of these courts is turf. It's not a hard surfacing. It's turf instead of a traditional kind of a concrete or a clay or anything like that. And again, if you haven't seen it in action, the ball that is used in the sport is essentially like a smaller tennis ball. It's the same kind of material, and so it's not like pickleball in that it doesn't have that whack of a sound. But that's an operational issue that we'll discuss at the planning board. So this is the proposed layout, very similar, right? You'll see again, nothing changes anywhere, but we have the two courts tucked to the east side of the skylight area, the raised area, and the elevator cores. Again, a great location because it's right on Alton Road. As we discussed last month, Alton Road has 11 million cars back and forth every year. So it's one of the busiest corridors in the city. This is the basically a view, 3D looking to the northwest. I put this in here to remind us again that you can see the height of the elevator core and stair structures in comparison to the courts, and then again the skylight area. So I'm going to go through. This is the section view. This again highlights the height elements of those additional portions of the building in comparison to the courts. But we have a series of slides in our plan that show you the viewability of the courts from surrounding areas, and really, I should call this lack of view of the courts. So this is from the parking garage across the street. You can definitely see them. So when you start looking at the elevations on all other sides of the building, it just hammers home how invisible they're going to be from most views. This is looking from the north, tucked in there. You can see peeking out just a corner. This is a view from the south, and this is probably exaggerated because this doesn't really reflect the rooftop cinema club improvements that are already there. This is a view from the west, again, obscured for all but that tiny little northern piece there is obscured completely by the rest of the building. And as Michael noted, we have a condition in our order that requires the provision of photometric plans at the time of permit. We've already designed them, and we have no issue with that condition because we're comfortable that we can design the lamps in a way that there'll be no spillage and they'll be directed in the right way. So that's the end of our presentation. I'm here for any questions you may have. I'd ask, of course, for your approval this morning with staff's amended conditions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak?
No. There's nobody online with their hand raised.
Okay, I'm going to close the public portion and open up to the board for discussion.
I have a question. Oh, I apologize, Madam Chair. I know Mr. Geller wanted from Anatomy, just wanted to speak briefly.
Hello. I just wanted to say we are so thrilled to be part of the Miami Beach community. We just celebrated 10 years on the beach with Anatomy Fitness and growing into this new location that we are in Lincoln, 1212 Lincoln. So we'd really be honored and appreciative to be able to add the paddle courts on the roof in order to add more athletic conditioning for the residents of Miami Beach.
But the paddle courts are not necessarily a part of the membership of your gym. It's just a coincidence that are... Or no. They're two different projects.
Yeah, we're working with the landlord.
Okay.
Sorry to be clear about it. They have to be an accessory to the fitness use. They're not independent of anatomy. So they are accessory only. That's why I have in my slides accessory. So the idea is that it's not some third-party operator. It's anatomy running them. So that it's tied to them, and as we'll deal with in the planning board, you know, that's part of our operational plan, that it's those are the anatomy employees, so we know who they are.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Thank you.
Could you put the image back up where we're on the roof looking northeast?
Oh, seeing the 1111 view?
Yeah, and more particularly, I just want to understand, Citizen M isn't built yet in this photo? Or, like, what is the conversation with them, or what is the relationship between the Citizen M and the parking, you know, roof as planned?
You see the guys over on the left with those stairs?
Yeah.
That's the area that connects to Citizen M. So there is back-of-house connection. There are cores that are shared at this level, but there's no direct connection across, of like, for guests or anything like that. So basically, those guys are there finishing it. So this is recent enough that the building is basically up.
Okay, that's the height. Yeah, I drove by this morning.
Yeah, okay. You might even see a couple of their trees.
I mean, I'm assuming they were already planning not to have views directly onto the rooftop parking anyway. So, like, this change of use doesn't really...
That's correct, yeah. Their views are more north and east.
I have a question. There's a comment on the report concerning parking. Obviously, the padel courts are going to be displacing some of the parking. When that parking is displaced, how is it going to be made up in the existing building?
The short answer is that the parking that's on that rooftop is surplus. It's extra above what the building requires. So we don't need, it's not necessary under the terms of the code. So that's why we're able to remove those spaces safely without causing a parking problem for the building.
And have you found, and maybe this is also what, so the, have you found that people have been using those parking spots or, you know?
The condition of my photograph,
mm-hmm.
That's basically what it is all
right.
The time.
They're not being used. It's not like now more cars are going to be on the street because there's not enough parking in the building.
You could fire a cannon through that roof and not hit a car, right? And I can tell you, as I was half joking, but the building itself, the parking structure, has got plenty of available parking, right? If you go up there any day, there's more than enough. Those two top levels... basically empty almost all the time.
And you meet the code with the remaining number of parking spaces.
Okay. And again, we will, and obviously that will continue to be tested by staff through the building permit process, because as tenants come in, you got to make sure you keep balancing it. But we meet it based on what we have now.
I also have a question too. So the structure of these paddleball courts, from what I'm hearing you say, is it, I guess it's a kit, it's ordered, this is what it looks like, this is the design, is that, you know, with the lighting fixtures that are attached, it all sort of comes that way.
Yes, as I understand it, this is the version that they've chosen. If you look online, you can see slight variations to the way that the lighting is done, mm-hmm. But this is the what has been chosen for the project. Yeah, it's all one thing.
Well, this seems like a great project, and it's always great to hear about a good neighbor business, so thank you. My only objection is that it does seem like, so these paddle courts aren't very attractive. I mean, they're very utilitarian, and it does seem like you are going to see it from the street. And especially in this corner, you know, just adjacent, we have two buildings designed by, you know, world-renowned architects, and then right next door, these very utilitarian-looking paddle courts. Was there any discussion, Michael, with any sort of screening?
No, I think because they are set back over 12 feet from the face of the building, and it's a rooftop of a parking garage, so it wasn't like there was much happening up there anyway except for the light poles of the garage.
I mean, maybe it's how I'm reading your images, but it doesn't seem like... I would have loved to have seen a picture. You know, you have a nice picture standing from the rooftop across the street. I would have loved to have seen a picture from the sidewalk across the street to see, you know, are the 11 million cars coming by going to see a rooftop full of, you know, ugly fencing?
I believe you're probably going to see a piece of it if you're on the street. You're certainly not going to see it from, you'll see it from the east side.
And I think, too, that if you were to add something, you know, to the parapet, then you'd just be increasing the mass and even making it more apparent or more visually impactful. I think probably especially driving, the building is close to the property line. You really have to look up, you know, to get that angle.
How many floors right now, Michael?
It's over five. This is over five stories up.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if anybody else feels the same way.
Well, I think it's a good point that you're bringing up that there is great architecture planned in the adjacent spaces, but I personally appreciate sort of the utilitarian aspect of this program, saying, you know, like in our urbanism, it's not all perfect, and I would rather it be sort of this raw exposure saying, hey, we're going to use our rooftop and we're going to put it to work and we're going to do that versus trying to cover it with something and make it look different. Now, I don't think we would want our whole, you know, urban environment to be chain link fence and, you know, glass walls if these were everywhere. But I think it's maybe more appropriate for it position because it's going to, you know, be on that corner where it's surrounded by good architecture and good materials. And I think it sort of says an image to Miami Beach that, you know, we can be resourceful with our space and we can sort of stack program. So that's my opinion on it.
Do you have any view of what it would look like from the east side of the building, if you're standing next to the movie theater, for example?
Sure. The question is, and the chairwoman asked the same question, I don't think I have a view from the street. What we have in the set are, this is basically as if you're in the garage or on top of the garage, right? That's basically that elevation. So if you imagined yourself at street level, you might see them poking out. The let's see, do I have the flat elevation in here? Let's see, I might have it in the rail set.
I'm just also surprised too, again, I know that you're involved, your client is involved with all the buildings on this block. I'm surprised that there wasn't any, that the, you know, it's, it, you've put in a nice building and you've put in a brand new nice building next door. You know, having something a little bit decorative would just enhance the block even more.
I think this, well, here's your eastern elevation. I think it's important to say that you can see that the bulk of Citizen, it really is much taller than what this is going to be too. So you're not going to see it from the north if that's what we're concerned about. If we're concerned about the east, yeah, you're going to see active use during, you know, until closing.
That's what I'm just concerned about, you know, what people, there's going to be a lot of people seeing it from Alton Road and what's that going to look like. And I wonder if they, and I understand, Shauna, what you're saying. I think you made a good point. And I was thinking about that too, and that, you know, that an interesting cityscape has lots of different layers, and I think it does. And so it's just, but again, I just go back and forth of this is just not, if there's some sort of common ground here. If there's something that could be a, you know, a sort of light, something that could be a bit of an extension of this nicely designed building as opposed to just black fencing.
Could you go back to the slide? You just clicked through. It had several images.
Yeah.
Oh, this the photographs?
Yeah, before that one.
Yeah, this one.
So view two is basically what you're seeing if you look directly east, which is the parking structure of the Regal right now.
You know, and I think too, and again, I'm just sort of trying to figure out what I want to say here, but you know, when you pass by, I live by Polo Park, and the courts there, you know, there's like a green mesh. I don't know, does that make it look nicer? Does it not? It's certainly, I guess, you know, because it's in a park, it does look nicer than just a chain link fence, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It just seems like there is really a nice opportunity. You know what would have looked good up there? I know. Those mosaics. No.
Well, from adjacent buildings and the parking structure across the street for the movie theater to look onto the courts that are going to be grassed with artificial or whatever, it may actually be a nicer view than seeing this slab of cement that is probably most of the time going to look dirty, you know.
Yeah, that's my view. I gotta say, the city's done traditionally a very poor job with screening any rooftop things, because when you go to a high rise and look down, it's awful. So this, to me, to have an active space with courts is, yeah, I think it's great. I really do. I think it'll add interest, and I think it's a great use of space. So I'm supportive.
My only thought too, though, is like shading. You know, someone will be able to play for 15 minutes and then need to take a break. But so I guess, you know, if there were some sort of real green screen, but then that would take maintenance and that would take care.
And it'll cut the breeze. Yeah. There's a breeze up there. It'll be much better.
Yeah.
And I take it in terms of operation, they're not worried about the paddleball players interrupting the movie viewers.
No, there's a hard separation. You know, there's a actual physical separation between them now. I'll show you that again.
And I guess if it's done by 9...
Yeah, we're working through the hours. We want to go to 10, but the movies are open to midnight, basically, right? So and that's the separation. So there's not going to be any lingering, and of course we've got to make sure that the photometric issues are solved, especially for rooftop, because we can't have any lights from this intruding on the movies.
See, this picture right here shows you what the view currently is,
but it's not like anyone really sees that. Except
adjacent buildings would see that are higher.
Are there any higher adjacent buildings?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that goes to both points, right?
Yeah.
There's not going to be higher adjacent buildings when these are there either, right? Yeah. So I think that was the rationale for locating it where we did, right? Because we're as far away from residential neighbors as we can be. And if we're talking about north of Lincoln, the Citizen M is in between them. You know, so they're not going to be
Citizen
looking down
M
on
the city. And the roof, Citizen M is a couple of floors higher, isn't it?
It's going to be a little bit. I don't know if that drawing is accurate. Okay. That's the ultimate height, but it will be taller. And it's got a fully landscaped roof with a pool in it and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. people on the north side are going to be seeing that instead of seeing these.
Right.
Does anybody...
Excuse me.
Want to make a motion, or
I make a motion to approve with whatever conditions Michael said.
Right. So we're going to take the we're going to take the conditions that we have in the staff report. We're going to move the conditions regarding the hours of operation and progress report, and that's going to be reviewed by the planning board.
Okay. And they'll also review lighting.
Right. The lighting and also the parking.
Okay.
Including the tandem spaces that they're showing now. On the rooftop.
Okay. I second the motion.
A motion made by Ms. Meyer, seconded by Ms. Buttacavoli.
Oh, and then the check-in, that's also going to be done by the planning department, the follow-up report you said?
Yes, the progress report, yes.
Okay.
Just so they don't have to come back to both the DRB
and
the planning board.
Good.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it again.
We'll see you at planning board. Before we continue with the previously continued applications, we forgot to do the approval of the minutes from February 6th. Thanks. Moving too fast on the agenda.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion made by Ms. Buttacavoli, second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Diffenderfer. All in favor?
Aye.
That motion passes 4-0. With that, we can start with the previously continued applications. Giselle?
The next item on the agenda is DRB 20-0593, 1915 Normandy Drive. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new five-story multifamily building, including one or more waivers to replace an existing single-family residence.
So the board may remember this application was initially reviewed by the board back in December, and the board had some concerns regarding the design. Since that time, the applicant has substantially revised the design. We included the modifications on page 7 of our staff report, but some of the major modifications that the board had asked the applicant to take a look at was they had removed the staircase connecting the Unit 1 balcony to the ground floor. The ground floor porch has been decreased in size, and one additional parking space has been added. The garage screening has been modified to fully screen the garage from the exterior elevation, as well as the other changes noted on page 7 of the report. Staff is supportive of the revised design and is recommending the application be approved. I'll turn it over to the applicant for his presentation.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to be back here again. We're our second presentation for the Normandy Lofts at 1915 Normandy Drive. Since our last meeting, we made some revisions to the front of the building, the entry level. We've changed the porch, or actually reduced the porch to allow for another parking space. So we were able to work that out. And we've also refined the materials that the building will be displaying. This is the site plan. Across on the south side, it's a five-story structure. So that this building is also a five-story proposal. This is the parking layout that was revised, showing six units with a smaller entry porch that has access into the garage and into the elevator lobby on the north side. The entry porch will have the mailbox for the residents so that the mailman can come in, drop the mail, and have his private space during that time. And just to recap, these are six units. Loft spaces, so there are four units that are 3-2s on the south side of the property and two units that are one bedroom with loft space on the north side of the property. These are the elevations. The property will also have amenities on the ground floor, which would be a swimming pool, spa, barbecue area, lounge, and on the front entry porch that can double also as a lounge area. The project will also have a rooftop lounge with a hot tub and barbecue area. The aluminum windows have been changed to a bronze color to kind of accentuate the difference between the laminate bamboo screening, which has been used to kind of soften the soffit or that balcony soffit area. And the stairwells also have been screened with a laminate bamboo screening. This is on the right is the view to the garage. The garage is designed so that in the future, a lift can be added to each of the units, so essentially doubling the spaces from 6 to 12 parking spaces. These are the materials proposed for the elevations. The balcony areas are proposed with glass railings. Rooftops are proposed with stainless steel cabling. And the accent trims are aluminum with coating finish. And that concludes, these are axial views of the project. That concludes our presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Are there any members of the public wishing to speak? Anyone online?
There is nobody online with their hand raised.
Excellent. I'm going to close the public portion and open it up to the board to discuss.
Michael, can you summarize what the concerns were at the last hearing with the garage and the entry and the project itself?
Well, I think you had expressed a concern regarding the front, that the that there was a loss of parking because the ground floor entrance porch was too large, so that they had reduced that to fit in one parking spot while still having a buffer to the parking by having that entry vestibule there. And then there was a screening of the garage and some finer, you know, design refinements to the building.
And the code requires only one parking spot per
unit. Actually, the
unit.
Code does not require any parking spaces. For lots that are less than 65 feet in width to sort of, because it can be very difficult to fit parking on a small site and sort of encourage the redevelopment of these small lots with housing. It's really up to the developer to decide whether or not they want to provide parking.
I actually have a question relating to the parking. As I'm looking at, what page is this? I think it's page 10. Michael, I guess you see the, it seems, can you bring up page 10? No, maybe go back. It's a parking diagram.
The clicker's not working.
Ah. It just seems, well, you'll bring it up, but my concern is it seems very difficult for the cars to get in and out. Oh, wait, I'll go back. Yeah, that one. Car number two. It's because I know that coming onto the street, you know, this is a very busy street. Is there, and I don't know, Michael, I know you guys have viewed this, enough circulation?
Yeah, they have the 22-foot of backup space. So
okay.
They should be able to back out, you know, completely to the end and turn without having to make a multiple point turn to get out of all the parking spaces. Parking space number one may require a little bit more maneuverability to get out, but...
Yeah, because it would probably not be very safe to back out onto Normandy Isle.
Well, yes, the garage entry is on the far left, so they will do their maneuvering before they exit it, and then they have another 20 feet of front yard of where they ramp down into the road.
And this would be for, these would be typically assigned parking spaces, so people living in the building mm-hmm. would know the maneuvers they need to make to get out versus, you know, a public yes. parking garage or public parking
right.
space. So.
Okay, yeah. Well, I can, Shauna, do you want to start?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to, I think that I really appreciate the thought that's gone into these revisions, and I feel like, you know, I continue to, you know, I really like the programming and all the sort of common areas and how this project is going to foster a sort of neighborly community feel because your common areas do seem very inviting. Just to be clear, because there was one picture in the presentation that did have a spiral staircase, that's not.
That's not, yes, we removed that discussions with the owner, our liability became a concern.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so I still do have a few, and of course I love, I think, you know, the three of the sides work very, very well. It was just this, you know, the front elevation. A few questions. One of my big concerns is this living wall. In that, it, living walls are very, very high maintenance, and I'm concerned with where this is located, that it's not, I don't think it's going to get very much direct sun. I don't know if that's the place to put a living wall. I was wondering if the other members of the board had any comments on that. It seems like a dominant design feature, and I just want to make sure that it's going to stay as lovely as it will.
Yes, that living wall is a concept basically to kind of make the balcony areas softer.
Yeah.
But that's definitely an item that we could redesign.
Can you show where on the plans where the living wall would be?
It is facing south and would get some east morning
sun.
So,
yeah, it would be on the south,
it's really deep.
South side.
Yeah.
It's on the inside. You know, there's no direct exposure to sun ever.
Well,
I think. Like, it's on the shaded side.
I think she's talking about the one on the ground floor that's at the back. Looks like you have
also one. Oh, no, I was talking about the front one, you know, because it's not, it's not on the surface. It's in the little...
It's about 3 feet in. I mean, it does face south, so there would be sunlight hitting that, depending on where, time of day, and also time of the year. But it would, I think that's there.
Can I add a comment onto this?
Yeah.
So I, again, appreciate the thought that went into the first floor. I think, you know, our previous comments were also, I remember having concerns about just entry and the way the previous, you know, at the rear, getting into the elevator and the stairs, you know, it didn't work before, it works now. And so I think the plans have made improvements. I think some of our feedback was also asking, how does the project express itself as a Miami Beach project? You know, I think there was... some color before, but it didn't really have a language of working together. And I think there's been a lot of effort to resolve that. My comment or concern right now is perhaps it's gone too far in terms of grabbing a lot of Miami Beach palette in here. So, you know, the green wall, the multiple colors, the wood, like I think that the idea of the wood, the front elevation, when you look straight on, is reading nicely. And I think, you know, if you're wanting to soften that balcony space, you could do so with the wood and maybe introduce, you know, less of these different elements so that the building feels more cohesive. So I don't know if that helps.
No, I think, and that was also a concern, that it seemed like the front facade didn't, It was so much busier. The other facades are much more simple. They still have these, you know, decorative elements to them, but the front facade is much more complex. And it also seems to, I mean, to Shauna's point, that the three sides seem to relate from a design standpoint, and the front one doesn't as much. It just feels a lot more heavy to me. And also how you have the mullions, it's still very, very busy. You know, if you look at the rear, there's a grid, and it's more calming and soothing. Whereas on the front, you have all those, you know, off kilter, asymmetrically placed mullions that add to everything that's going on. One thing that you might want to explore it's hard to see also your presentation because you have lots of pictures from lots of different angles, but not sort of a straight head on. So I'm scanning here trying to find the picture that I want to really talk about the best, but maybe on page 26. Mm-hmm. So just I guess it's even the southeast view. the Southwest view. But even that, the gray box on the top floor, I think it just seems, this side just seems very top heavy, and I can't help but think, and I know that square or the rectangle is also part of the balcony and it provides, you know, cover. I see why it's there, but that gives it a sense of heaviness that the rest of the building doesn't really have. And that also is where the green walls are located.
Yeah, I think you could. I mean, I would suggest maybe removing those side walls and just have the projecting of the roof above, and have the railing continue, or the solid portion continue just to the railing height on the side, and remove that entire section that's above the railing to open it up.
Yeah, I think if you see the southwest view, the rendering there shows a little darker, but it's actually a light gray paint on the outside. And I think the southeast view is more closer to that color. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those interior walls can also be just paint, a paint finish.
Right. I think it's less about the color that's perceived and the form. And even, I mean, some of it is the color, but not the color you've chose, but the fact that it changes color from the rest of the building mass. Yes. So when we look at these series of representations, which I think that they're sort of over animated and oversaturated and not doing your design any favors in how it will look in real life, but there just seems to be several elements on every facade that are just applied. And so I'm wondering, you know, if you had to pick two elements that are essential to your project and sort of expressing the design language and, you know, the Miami Beachness and, you know, this idea of the urban densification, you know, what are those sort of essential moves? I think the porch, you know, is a great formal move and it's working very well for you. But I think some of the other sort of design and color moves are taking away from that strong move that faces, you know, the community.
I think that's... I'm having very good luck with my phone today. Sorry, you just said something that I thought was expressed very well.
Oh.
And I got distracted. But so if you look at even the on the rear elevation, how you have the balconies there and the plane sort of cuts through, it almost looks like it slices into the building and then it forms a balcony. That's really nice, and that is very thoughtful and I think has the intention. And I'd love to see something similar maybe on the front. You know, maybe that's the gesture to bring through. It's just sort of light and it's floating and it, you know, reminds me a little bit of an eyebrow and it has that, you know, Miami Beach sort of vernacular to it. But again, on the front balconies they're just much more massive and heavy and, you know, counteracting that lightness and intentionality.
Yeah, part of the design for that front overhang was to reduce solar gain inside the units.
And then what was your intention with having all the mullions not be more regular?
That's a feature that more artistic, but we can modify that to simplify that grid.
And then again, I'm just comparing the different the facades. So it seems like the mullions on the front facade are dark, but then in the rest of the building they're light. Or is that
no,
just
it should
how
be
it was dark. Rendering?
Yeah, it's yeah. That's the rendering that came.
I like the lighter ones.
The white works better with all the other color accents. Like, I think, again, there's competing agendas here. Sorry to interrupt. Also, on the northeast view of the page we were looking at, there's sort of that rear mass and then the green, the vertical core steps back, but then there's a series of floor plates or white horizontal lines that continue. Can you explain what those are? In the northeast view, so the bottom right.
That's just the floor structure on the balcony?
Those are balconies. So where the green is, that's the vertical core, right?
The green... A northeast view?
Yeah.
Around the windows? The window trim?
No. So there's the white mass that is adjacent to the pool, and then there's the green mass a vertical core.
Yeah, that, rendering, it'll be a light gray.
Okay, a light gray. But then the white horizontal lines that are linking that white mass.
That's part structural. That's tying these shear walls on both sides of that elevator and stair area.
So what I'm hearing is that if the ground floor and the parking and the entrance are a good improvement, and I think there's concern with the coloring that's been added or that exists on both the east and west side of the building where there's windows that maybe don't need to be there and conflict and actually take away from the design of the building. And then there's concern on the north side, not the north, but on the south side, with, again, some competing colors that maybe can be removed or changed.
Yes.
And then the mullions, I think what they're saying is it seems to be that lighter would work better than darker. So taking all of that, I think I somewhat summarized it. Maybe I'm missing one or two, but is that something that would be agreeable to all of you too?
Absolutely. Yes, we can present a board just with samples.
If I may, the presentation is disjointed because every rendering you look at, some of them the wood looks like wood, but in other ones it looks like the same gold as the paint and the aluminum around the window, but I know they're not the same. And then the green's thrown in there, and it's just like, it's really, it's too much. It's just, and I don't think this gold paint is doing you any favors either. That's the big problem to me. The wood and the gold, they look like they're, in some renderings, they're the same color exactly, and in other ones, they're not. And so I don't think it's a good representation. It's just, you know, if there's too much. It looks like it's all the same in one, and the color's not good. The representation is not good. And then the other one with the multicolors just looks like, it just, I don't know, it just looks too much. Like, why is the top window a different color than the bottom window? And then the wood, and then the painting of that gold around the, above the front porch, I think looks like an older building from like the 70s or something. I don't think that color is doing you any favors.
Well, we can present a color.
Yeah, I think that would have been helpful because they're all very different.
Agree on the colors, yes.
And the consistency of every rendering is different. So, it's hard to try to get your head around it.
Part of the issue is like that the renderings are more cartoonish versus realistic in terms of expressing the materials and the actual colors and finishes.
Yeah.
So we're willing to sit down and present colors.
Does the board want to see this come back with modification to the simplification of the overall design, including the items that Ms. Buttacavoli mentioned? And I think if the board wanted to continue this, the applicant could provide renderings and come back to the board next month and simplify the balcony, the railings. I do think there's something that's missing, or you're showing too much on the area where the elevator core is. There's like too much horizontal in that. You have the looking at the floor plan. I think it's page DRB 13. You have the stair, so the stair core has that wood finish on it, right? And then you have the elevator behind it, and that should be a continuous plane. And it looks like you have some horizontal portions that come out in front of that. So Does the board want to continue this?
Yeah, I think, Michael, because there's so many little things, I think it'd be best if it comes back. And I hate asking you to come back and delaying it another month for you to be able to proceed, but I think in the end it'll end up being a better project if you do come back with all the, you know, the concerns and recommendations, I guess, more than concerns that have been expressed.
Yeah, I completely agree with Meyer, too. I feel bad saying this, but I do think it's hard to vote on something that we're not quite sure of. I'm looking at page 16, and the coloring on page 16 is very different. That it reads more as wood, whereas opposed to the other renderings, it reads as orange paint. And it's just very hard to really see what's going on, and I think it would be helpful for everybody. Can I even offer, and I don't know if I'm overstepping here, but maybe to have the staff sit down with the applicant and go page by page, and maybe you can describe, if we were to reduce it, this would be better here, that would be better there. Can you take away the orange, just so we have a better sense of what?
Yeah, we could meet Thursday or Friday this week. I would suggest the board continue it till the April meeting. Mm-hmm. And that would give them time by next Tuesday to provide any changes to the plan and structure. You could provide renderings later on, because I know it takes longer to produce the renderings. Mm-hmm. So for your resubmittal, you could just provide us any changes to the overall structure, the form of the building, and provide us with realistic renderings about a week before the April meeting. And if you can't provide that, then the board can always continue it to the May meeting.
And then in terms of the things to look at revising, I would say maybe exploring, you know, on the front facade, taking out the sidewalls where you do have the green walls, and seeing how that maybe lightens up the front facade.
And simplifying sort of the additive expressions to the building. I mean, again, we're not, I want to be clear, we're not looking for a white box in any way. But I think, you know, there's, in some views, I think the windows are white for a reason, because they work that way, right? And so where are the moments of interest that you're trying to create, and letting those moments of interest really be just that, but simplifying, you know, reducing the number of interest points.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this building has a good personality, and I want to make sure that the best parts of it, its personality, are being expressed. And I think that I agree with Shauna was saying, it's where are these lines coming from? What are they doing? You know, certain ones are reinforcing that this is a floor, or the height. That's sort of what's the intention behind the decorative element.
Yeah, I think we could resolve these items, a personal sit down, and make the decisions there. And I think that would help.
And I commend you with the parking, because it is such a difficult thing in the North Beach area with a lot of these buildings that don't have parking, that were built many years ago. So I commend you, and I think it'll be very useful for the residents there, because otherwise,
yes,
it'd be very difficult to park.
Yeah, and I think what I like about this project is it does seem very livable. You know, like, this seems just like a nice place, and how you have the interior spaces, how it's all laid out, that you are providing parking. You know, that's a convenience that people like. So, again, we just want to see this be as successful as possible. Does anybody want to make a motion?
I make a motion to continue. Do I need to re-say everything that we've said? Or
no, I think we have the understanding.
Okay. To the April 2nd meeting.
Second the motion.
Second by Ms. Buttacavoli. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No items continue to the April 2nd meeting.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
So we're still waiting on Mr. Sam Sheldon. So we have to move on the agenda. The next item would have been DRB 23-0943. For 300 West 40th Street. However, because that application includes a variance, we're going to continue to the next application, which does not have a variance first, and that is DRB 23-0941 for 4410 Alton Road.
Okay.
The next item in the agenda is ZRB 23-0941, 4410 Alton Road. An application has been filed requesting designer review approval for the construction of a new two-story home with an understory, including one or more waivers on a vacant site. This was continued from November 13, 2023.
So the board may remember this is a very unique design that was reviewed by the board back on December 11th of 2023. At that time, the board had concerns regarding the landscaping as well as the overall final design details and structural requirements for the project. The applicants before you today for the final design of the landscaping, staff is supportive of the revised design, which is more comprehensive and has a greater variety of materials, of landscape materials. We are recommending approval of this application. I just want to make one amendment to the final order. Because the applicant will be coming back to the board for the final design and details of the structure and overall details of the project, we're going to include that as a condition in the order that we've drafted today. We forgot to include that condition. So with the approval today, the board will still come back to you for the final design and details of the structural components and the overall design. We'll be back before the board prior to the applicant receiving their approval for building permit. But today, it's just a landscaping plan that the applicant's requesting approval for. I'll turn it over to the applicant.
Good morning. Emily Balter, Burkhardel, Fernandez, Largan, and Tapanez, office at 200 South Biscayne Boulevard. I'm here today on behalf of Mauricio Kirshner, the owner of 4410 Alton Road. With me in person is Dale Bryant with Green Earth Landscape, our landscape architect. On Zoom, we have Cristobal Aria of NMD Nomadas. I believe Dale needs to be sworn in.
Dale? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you will be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you. If we could bring up our presentation also. As Michael explained, we came before you all in December, and the Design Review Board approved the design of the home and bifurcated the landscape. We were scheduled to come before you in February. We needed additional time to further study this. We understand that the landscape is an integral part of this very unique designed home. So we took an extra month and submitted supplemental landscape materials, and that's what we're here to present to you today. As Michael also noted, and we wanted to add that we agreed to a unique condition to come back before the board in 6 months with a construction feasibility and maintenance plan. Since December, we've hired a general contractor, and they've already begun working on these details, and we're excited to bring that all before you. So with that, I'm going to pass it to Dale.
Good morning, Chair, Vice Chair, members, staff. My name's Dale Bryant. I'm the landscape architect for this project, House of Kirshner. As you may recall, in December, we came before the board and presented, but there were some questions about the details of the landscaping because it's obviously an integral part of the structure. And what we did since then is really looked at it and refined what we had. What we had presented concurrently with the structure was no slouch by any means, but we wanted to give a better, more confidence to the board that we had really thought this through. And there are a few minor items we're still working on because it's a unique opportunity. But you'll see on this design is what we came in with. This is the another angle if you're, I think the first one, yeah. So if you're on Alton Road, you'll see the street trees before this, but this is the view from Alton Road and Alton Road sidewalk looking at the east elevation. This is another shot of that. If I can get my little pointer going there. This is a perspective of the rear of the property. You'll notice the vining we have on the trellis of the roof and a lot of second story kind of hanging planters, as well as an island in the pool. and the rear deck. And most notably, one of my favorite features, the mountain of steps. So this is the signed and sealed landscape plan that was submitted. And I put a delta around the revisions, which is basically the whole site. But what we really wanted to do is start with the rendering. So it's not as, inspired by. It's more literally what we did to bring that rendering to life. So along Alton Road, we did change the street tree species. We found more room, and we're going with mahogany, which is the theme along Alton Road, except for where the overhead lines are. And you see FBL, you call them the deep crotch cuts. There are no overhead lines on this side of the street, so it allows us to continue that beautiful mahogany theme along the street trees. As we go into the site, one of the things we did, if you'll notice, and I don't have the previous plan up, but we had hedges along the perimeter in a straight line. Then we had beds in front of those hedges. What we've done now is more dissect that with different species. So we have hedges, but they're more in groupings now. A little more curvilinear, a little more arboreum type of design. We are meeting code, all the street trees, front yard trees, rear trees, and shrubs. We are exceeding the shrubs and ground cover significantly. This is a concept of this plan, and this is more color to illustrate the design themes we had. And we're using different colors to delineate different species of plants. But you'll notice in the kind of the sectioning of them, instead of being more linear, now we're doing more groupings, like a botanical garden. These are just the trees in the site, just so you can get a better feel without the shrubs. It's heavily treed. Here's a nice perspective. This is the concept of what you're looking at in the plans. Lots of color, lots of variety. This is the understory, and it's an open air room in the understory level that you'll walk down to. And again, we have lush plantings in there. Indoor plants, low shade is critical, because even though it's an open concept, it's still going to get a lot of shade. So we selected those plants very carefully. And again, this is kind of a color concept of what that understory will look like. And the trees in the understory, just so you can see without the ground cover and the shrubs. This is an overall concept of the paving pattern. You can see the paving materials here that we're suggesting, unit pavers. Now we go to the second level. And this is where you see on that first rendering the hanging shrubs coming off the balconies. And there's a dark line around the perimeter. And those are all of the shrubs hanging off that balcony. And then there's a concentrated area for vines to climb up the roof trellis. And you can see that in the concentrated area. There's a colored picture of it. And then if you notice the indigo color on the perimeter, those are the vining plants running vines that we're going to use to hang over the balcony. And if you'll notice, we added a detail, detail number 5 there, just to let you know how that's going to work. So this is a section of the concrete planter as part of the house. And it'll show the plants, which are succulents, so they're not woody landscape plants, because we do have a narrow planting area. It'll show the ceiling for the concrete. We have a drainage system right now that our engineer is working on, and then we're proposing a drip hose irrigation system that runs the perimeter. And finally, we have the roof level, and it's kind of an amenity level, and we have some palms, a tree, and again, towards the edges, we have cascading plants. It's a color concept of the roof level again. These are some general sections of the house. This would be, I believe, the north facade. And then you can see this is the east facade.
Through the chair, we're almost done. One more minute.
Yes. And back to the beautiful picture that our landscape plan is meticulously emulating. I thank you. I think that concludes our presentation. We're available for any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak?
And there's nobody online with their hand raised.
Okay, I'm now closing the public portion of the presentation and opening it up to the board for comments. Who would like to begin?
Thank you. Is that okay? Did you want to? Thank you for the presentation. I think it definitely is thorough and very thoughtful in terms of the plants type, the color palettes, the layered effect. I think, you know, my only concern, which lies in the same concern as the architecture and the house, is just the how is this all structurally, you know, integrated. And so at this moment in the landscape plan, there's 5 details. You know, one of them has to do with the building, which is the trellis. The others are just typical planting details. Right. So in a proposal like this, where we have these terraced spaces, you know, we have a waterfall, you know, maybe that's part of the architecture, maybe that's part of the landscape. But there's really, like you've stated several times, the integration between architecture and landscape is
critical on this project.
So I don't know who's, you know, taking the lead in terms of, you know, designing the trellis steps with, you know, that basically act as planters as you move up, or any of those, you know, terrascapes. So that would be my only concern, is just, you know, who's designing and thinking through that. Clearly, you've thought about what's going in there, and it looks very beautiful and exciting to see. But
so you're still concerned about the structure to support all of these beautiful plantings throughout the building?
Yeah.
And I can answer your question if you'd like. The architect is designing retaining walls along this mountain of steps. So they're more just for stabilization as we move up, so the angle of repose, the soil doesn't come down. And what I'm doing is designing within those planters they're creating. But we can, once we come back, we'll make sure to have very clear, and I may incorporate them into the landscape plans as well, just so you can see.
Yeah, like the sections you began to show us of how the material moves. Again, I think those are great, but if they're more technical, so that again, it's understood how it's structured. That would
how
be,
it's holding together.
That would be perfect.
I have the same concern, that I think first the architecture needs to take the lead, and then landscaping should complement and work into that architecture. And I think the architecture is still way behind approval
And the architecture, if I can just speak to it briefly, because it's not what's before us today, but it is so way out there. And it is very similar to something that I remember seeing on North Bay Road. I call it the Shark House that no longer exists and was not contributing to the neighborhood at all. And I just have a concern with the architecture. So to approve a landscaping plan where the architecture is still not there, I have concern with. So that's one. The second concern I have is your landscaping is beautiful.
Thank you.
And with the colors and the variety. However, on a property this size, I think it's going to be a lot once all of that starts growing. And I wonder who's going to maintain it. Because without maintenance of all this, it's not going to look like what we're seeing today.
Absolutely.
It's going to be not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that we can't deny something because we think that they may not be maintaining it, but I just can't see anybody maintaining this on Alton Road and not even in North Bay Road, LaGorse Island, or anywhere on Miami Beach do you see this amount of landscaping on a home. Beautiful. Beautiful in all respects, but without the maintenance, it's not going to look the same.
And it's going to require some maintenance. But
a lot of maintenance.
A lot of what you're seeing there are shrubs and ground cover that behave themselves. In other words, they have a set form that they're not going to exceed the sizes. In the occasions where we do have the shrub groupings, the sea grape, the cocoa plum, that will need to be hedged and maintained, absolutely.
Yes,
but any hedge will need to be maintained. Yeah.
And a lot of that plant material, it can't just be a gardener coming in with a weed whacker. It's hand mm-hmm. trimming.
Oh, absolutely.
In order for it to be properly, to look as it should.
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't.
And the owner has a lot invested in this house, his vision, so he's not going to build something like this and not have it maintained. He'll be forced to, you know, because sea grape is technically a tree, cocoa plum as well, a small tree. But I think some of the pictures we're showing you may be a little elusive because even though there's a lot of landscaping, a lot of this stuff is small growing, 18, 24 inches, and that's what it caps out at. So the shrub groupings, absolutely, though.
And through the chair, if I can respond very briefly as well. So when we came before you in December, we understood that there were some questions about the architecture and how it would be built, the feasibility of it. And we're already working on that, and it was approved, and we're prepared to come back before you in 6 months before this comes to permitting. And that feasibility will include maintenance and a maintenance plan and details on how the planting within the architecture will be maintained. What I will add is this is not a waterfront property, so the applicant is going above and beyond with the landscape to get that feel.
Yeah.
It is a top priority, and that's why we agreed to the condition to bifurcate it, further study, and come back before you with just the landscape. This is the waterfront in their view. This is the most important thing because if not, it's landlocked. So we understand the concerns with the feasibility, and that's why we're coming back before you. And at this point, less than 6 months, because it was 6 months in December. So
thank
very
you.
Soon.
Thank you. Well, my question to you, you know, when this was first presented to us, there was some public comment, and, you know, there was a concern among the neighbors that the existing empty lot hasn't been maintained. And so at least for me, like, that sort of coloring this discussion and making us concerned about the ongoing maintenance related, I'm not a landscape architect, but, you know, to your point about it being easy to maintain, how, you know, what percentage or how many of these species are native species that would be a lot easier to maintain versus non-native? It is in your packet. I haven't seen, or is it included?
It is, and it's included. There's a requirement in species percentages, we are well above that. I think we're 100% on the shrubs. But as far as the non-natives, like the burley marks, philodendron, these are, how do we call it? They're adapted to this climate, and they're species that aren't going to grow large. The native species are the ones that will, ironically. So those are the ones that we're going to have to maintain in shrubs so they don't get big and bushy.
Well, it's funny because my concern is not the overgrowth. My concern is that things are going to die and then they're going to just be there and it's just going to be empty, black, dirt.
I understand.
So, especially during the summer, when it's, though I guess it's rainy, but yeah.
All of the selection are species that do well in not only in saline air environments, but also to a degree, some of them, water. But all of them thrive in South Florida. I've used all of these species in several projects, and have had luck with them.
And we have a few additional slides if you'd like us to go through images of each specific species. We wanted to keep our presentation to 10 minutes, but I'm sure Dale, if you give us another minute, he'd be happy to go through. And we have a photo of every single species.
Sure. You know what? Maybe I want to continue the discussion amongst the board members. Scott, you
So
have...
I'm really excited to not see lawn, and I think the neighbors are going to be thrilled not to have weed whackers every week and hedge clippers and all that. So I really applaud that. Really my only concern, and I think it'll grow nicely. I think it'll be beautiful. I love that it's wild and jungle-like, and I think it's going to be very exciting. The only thing that concerns me, and I'm sure you thought about it, but I'd like you to speak to it, is, the city will always come back and say, well, this is dangerous, and you're going to have railings on those stairs, and that pond is too deep, and it counts as a swimming pool, and there's all kinds of things that kick in for that. So I just wanted to make sure, those stairs are beautiful, and I really love everything you've done. I think it's very exciting, but I just wanted to make sure that all that was taken into account so it doesn't get watered down and turn into some horrible version of...
Yeah. And if something, I can't speak for the architect, they're on Zoom right now, but if for some reason somebody said, hey, you've got to have rails, maybe it could be some kind of custom ornamental that blended in with that stone mountain of stone steps. But yeah, I really think that's one of the most unique aspects of this, just the entry and the rear as well, these big flagstone limestone pieces.
Let me ask you a question, because you guys are coming, and I don't know if it's more for the architect or for the attorney, because you are coming back before, would you know by that point if you would need railings or to modify this for safety in any way?
Yes.
I would say to make sure to have that be part of version 2 presentation, all of that.
But I would suggest, too, the details for the landscaping on the building itself, that also be part of the structural component and the design that's reviewed, 6 months from now.
The landscaping details of the building, but yes. I think through the site, because the building clearly sort of steps and terraces down to the site. Yeah.
And I think we have that on detail number 5 on the detail sheet. We added that since last time.
Right, we just want to make sure that's detailed with dimensions and everything for the structural components.
Absolutely.
So I think today I would suggest that the board, approve the landscape plan, especially everything around the perimeter, but as anything that touches the building component directly, that also be further designed and detailed as part of the structural components of the building.
Okay.
So I have my concerns about this relate to the roof and the roof deck, and this is definitely something both for the landscape architect as well as for the architect. There's such an interesting, extremely unique roof line on this building. The fact that this roof garden was even proposed confused me, because there was just so much, the roof itself was so interesting. I didn't understand why it would want to be punctured by an activation up there. And it's not really shown so much in this presentation. I know on the rear, you do have this trellising that's interrupting the roof. And, mm-hmm. We're often, we often get proposals that include vines and, you know, greenery integrated into the facade. And, you know, there have been some buildings built that incorporate this, and they have not really been maintained. And it's just sort of, it doesn't look as pretty. So one of the things that we always like to do is to make sure, okay, let's say the landscaping wasn't there. Let's say the green wasn't there. Structurally, is that still very interesting? And I would be willing to argue that with the roof, with the, you know, the trellis in the back, that I think that still is an interesting, I don't know if it's, that to me still seems like an interesting architectural feature, not just a landscaping feature.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, I can't say the same for the other activations on the roof deck. And again, those just seem excessive and unnecessary. And the fact that they are getting, you know, covered by landscaping just adds to that, you know, excessive. I think it just takes away from the design to have that there. My question is, so on some of the renderings that we see, you don't really see what's going on the roof. Mm-hmm. And then in others, you do. So I would just like to know, and the fact that you're adding green to it does make it taller and busier. You know, it's just too busy, and then you're adding more to it. So, you know, one of my main questions was, are you going to see these, you know, not the one that's attached to the roof itself, but are you going to see these other, you know, canopies from the street at all?
From eye level at 5 foot six, 5 foot six total, but of a 6 foot person. You're going to see something coming up,
yeah.
But at that angle, it's not going to be the whole.
Right.
And we're
right.
calling them aviaries right. instead of bird cages. But the architect is currently working on that, trying to reduce the height of them, and if the board wishes, maybe even you know, considering the necessity of them.
I mean, that would be my, you know, and in thinking about. I know we're supposed to stick to the landscaping, but it's so hard not, you know, they're so integral.
They're
it's hard
integral.
To not.
Yeah.
And I think what, you know, what has been done with the landscaping goes against, you know, reducing what should be happening. You're adding more to the roof as opposed to reducing it. So that's also something I know the architect's listening, you know, to think about that I feel very strongly that the design of the structure would be significantly enhanced without the activations on the roof. And it's not something that I support ultimately for the design. And that's something to think about. And it also probably, you know, plays into Shauna's concerns as well, is how are these things going to be maintained? Because if the vines on the top of the roof deck go brown and then you see it, that's really unattractive for everyone in the community. So those were my comments. I don't know if anybody else.
And if I may, so you're opposed to maybe the hard structures, but not as much if we had some small trees or palms on the roof?
I'm opposed to anything on the roof.
Anything.
Only because the roof itself is so beautifully ornate and unique. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, how much can you add? How many?
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Any other comments or thoughts? And Michael, they're scheduled to come back.
No, well, they will make an application to the board to have the board review those details just prior to them getting a building permit or submitting for a building permit. So
they'll have more of the details worked
right.
out.
So I can make a motion to approve the landscape plan on the condition that the details of where the landscape engages the structure of the house and the terracing on the site are included when they revisit the DRB.
A second on the motion?
I have a concern with that because I think the landscaping plan can be approved contingent on this architecture being finalized.
I think that's what Ms. Myers is suggesting, that anything related to the landscaping that touches the building will come back to the board and reviewed with the structural components when they make the application for that final review and approval by the board.
But I think that even things that don't touch the building may have to change based on the architecture if it changes. Or however it changes. I just don't know how it's going to change. And so for that reason, I think a tentative approval based on the final approval of the architecture
I don't have a problem with. I have a serious problem with this amount of landscaping and the fact that it's not going to be maintained.
So and, are you saying you don't
so
approve?
I, you know, if you all want to approve it, I think go forward with it. But I think it has to be a tentative approval based on the approval of the architecture and what changes it may bring to the landscaping or may be required of the landscaping of not just those landscapings touching the building, but even surrounding the building on the outside.
So through the chair, if I may, I know there's a motion on the table, but I think that is the intent of this, first the bifurcation of the approval of the architecture and then the landscape, and then also conditioning us to require to come back before you before we pull a building permit. So essentially we are getting a tentative approval, but we can't move forward without the assurity that we have at least some approval from this board to move forward with those construction documents.
I think what's happened is that probably bifurcating the landscape and the structure, we probably didn't need to do that. That it seems like everything is contingent upon
Correct.
The follow-up.
Correct.
So I don't know where that leaves us in terms of how to rule and what to do, because it seems like if we approve the landscape plan, it's saying, yes, these bushes, these shrubs, these can go here. But, you know, we still do have concerns.
Well, I think the one thing the board can do is approve, as Ms. Meyer recommended, where the board is approving the landscaping around the perimeter, and anything that touches the structure, the terraces, comes back to the board when the board reviews the structural component of the building. Otherwise, the other option is to continue this until the board approves the structure of the building. But I think that the applicant's opening that if there's change that have to happen to the periphery of the landscaping when the board looks at the building, I'm sure they'll be open to making some minor modifications. I think
absolutely.
The idea here is that this is the concept that the board is approving. There's always, I can tell you that for building permit, landscape plans change more than anything else. And even when submitted for building permit, the landscape plans installed in the end are always different, and there's always an as-built plan. So these landscape plans are going to change between now and when the board sees them again, and they'll change again at time of building permit. So I think they just want some comfort level that this is a concept plan and this is an improvement over the plan that the board saw last December.
Do you feel comfortable with that, Myra?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a motion on the table.
No,
oh, yeah.
Go one more question. On page 4 of the application or the document before us, it talks about recycling or salvage plan for partial turtle or.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't apply. Demolition. That doesn't apply. We'll remove that.
Okay. But does that apply to the wall that was just taken down in the front?
No, that applies. That's supposed to be for when a building is being demolished, but
okay.
The site's vacant.
Yeah,
so
that was done.
We'll remove that, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry about that. So do we have a second on that motion?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Diffenderfer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, Board.
Thank you. I'd like to take a 5-minute recess.
Thanks.
Good morning and welcome back to the March 5th meeting of the DRB. We have two more items on the agenda. Are we going to go back to the DRB 230943 now that Sam
Correct,
has joined
yes.
us?
Correct, yes. And Giselle will read that into the record.
The next item in the agenda is DRB 23-0943, 300 West 40th Street. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new single-story religious institution and associated parking, including variances from the previous landscape requirements along Sheridan Avenue to replace an existing structure to be demolished.
And the board may remember this was last before you on September 5th of last year, and the application was heard and the board had some concerns regarding the design and the landscaping. And since that time, the applicant has made changes to the overall building design. Specifically, all elevation have been enhanced. A pedestrian gate has been incorporated into 40th Street, and the overall amount of hardscaping has been significantly reduced compared to what's there currently. There's also a much greater separation between the structure and the residential homes to the south compared to the current configuration, which only provides for a 5-foot buffer of landscaping between the parking and the building. As proposed, they're providing a deep landscape buffer along the south side of the site. With the revised plans, they now are relocating oak trees within that buffer along the south side to buffer the two adjacent residential properties. They are asking for one variance, and it is a variance from the previous open space requirement, which requires 50% of the side facing the street to be landscaping. And they're providing a landscape area of 35.5% in that one area. However, as noted in a report, when taking consideration the overall landscaping on all the street fronts, they have an excess of square footage when you factor in all the street fronts. So we are supportive of the revised design as well as the revised landscaping, and are recommending that the application be approved, including the requested variance. I'll turn over to the architect for his presentation.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, members of the board. My name is Juan David, architect of record for this project. The project is located on, my address is 1385 Coral Way, Suite 404. And yes, like Michael said, we have some issues with landscaping. Actually, in the previous submittal, we had the landscaping, but it wasn't introduced on time, so the board member didn't see it. So one board member, said, you don't have landscaping, it's very poor, because we have just a graphic representation of the landscaping on our architectural plans. But the landscaping was there, but we tweaked it a little bit to take on some comments from the owner and to take some comments from the city as well. So that was one of the things that we brought, the new landscaping, according to those comments. The other issue that was brought here by the commission was kind of bring a portal, like the portal that we have from the parking area. We have, the portal, a big portico for the entrance of the building. On the rear of the property, we're facing 40th Street. So it's the back of the building that is presented into the 40th Street. So we brought a portal back to that area. Let me see if you can see this. Okay, that's our inside view. That's the inside view from the parking. We can see the building. We can see the new portal to the left there from 40th Street. So this is a layout of the two different projects, the previous existing church that is there, that is like a 12,000 square foot building. It's a monster. And then to the right, we have our project. Actually, you can see this in the screen anyway. So on the right-hand side is our proposal. We have like 2,000 extra square foot of landscaping. So our proposal is a little better than what is existing now. Those are the finishes. We have the entire building is mainly white stucco, a little off-white. And we have some accents, like the portal is gray stone, kind of a darker gray to emphasize the entrance. We have some louvers on the entrance to, create some attractiveness to the and create some shade and some design element to the entrance. We also use some buttons in front of the windows as some of the elements that we see in the neighborhood. We see one of a Jewish community center, I guess, two blocks from our property, and they have the same kind of treatment on the windows, wood buttons in front of the windows. We also brought some, you can see the eyebrows in different places above the windows. And we have veneer those underneath with wood veneer to bring some warmth to the design. Those are the same materials on the east side. elevation. So we have there, you see to the left, you see the stone, that's the portico with the dark gray. The rest of the building that we see is just a white stucco, you know, some off-white. And that element that you see with the wood buttons is a dark color to bring some contrast, some accent to the building. More of the details here. This is something that the board required, that was to bring the elevation with the landscaping and without the landscaping. So one is very plain, just to see the elements of the facade, and the second facade is with the landscaping. So you see, we can see some rhythm between the windows and the landscaping. And here to my right is Greg Pauly from our office, that is a landscape designer, and he's going to explain a little bit the landscaping. This is the east elevation again, plain and with the landscaping. So you can see that the building, being kind of long, is very well dressed up with some rhythm in the landscaping to make it interesting. So I'm going to give the floor to Mr. Greg for the landscaping.
Sure. Good morning. As we heard, I'm going to use this one or this one. As we heard about the concerns with landscaping, we did realize that it was because it wasn't in the package. At the same time, it made us look at it again with a new set of eyes. And in doing so, we set up an appointment with the city staff from the landscape side, so we had their ideas along with our ideas on how to propose and progress going forward. What we did, we saved as many trees as we could that were viable for transplanting. And the idea with this was to transplant them one time. We have I've worked on many projects where we have multiple transplants where you take the trees away and bring them back, but the time and effort and cost it takes to maintain those things for years is exorbitant. So we took all the live oak trees that are on the property and brought them back to the back edge, which is next to the residential area, to try to give them that high buffer that really helps that separation between our new project and their existing homes. So as you can see in the back, we've kind of got it in a naturalistic state where nothing's in a straight line. It's just as if they were already there. And everything else is pretty much new on the main side, on the front side. Let me go back to this. This goes this way.
Yeah, here, exactly.
All right. So this is 40th, and those two taller Bismarck palms are already there. We were able to keep one in its exact location. The other one we shifted a few feet because of this portal that was requested by the city. But we thought they're very architectural. You can't quite get those at that height that easily and get them to the property. So we kept those. On the sides, we've got golden shower trees that are flanking either side of this property. Unfortunately, one is going to go. One gets to stay. We wanted to transplant these as well, but they don't really transplant very properly. They have a weak root system, and we just didn't think it would, the viability of it surviving would make it. So everything else, though, is new. And the city allowed us, because on Pine Tree we have a very skinny street area to actually plant. Right along Pine Tree, between the sidewalk and the curb, the city allowed us to bring those trees onto our property, count as street trees, so we can meet our numbers on the landscape legend. As you can see on the legend, we've met all the numbers. We didn't go too much or too far over them. What we did go high on was all the native planting, knowing that those are the things that like to live here. Those are the things that are going to get their toes in the sand and feel good about being there. We were talking about maintenance in prior today, and these things are, there is no maintenance, or really even low maintenance down here in South Florida. There's maintenance. It's landscape maintenance. Everybody needs it to a certain extent. What we provided here are all kinds of things that are typically here. They do well, and they take standard maintenance like anything else. But as you can see, the numbers, we're three times the amount of native trees and canopy and almost twice that in the shrubs and ground cover. So the idea is to get things that do well, look good, perform well, and also do the job that we're trying to show is to buffer this building. And as you can see in all of these, we are covering the building, and this is rare where we have these many, landscape drawings in an architectural plan. But we did this specifically for you all so you can see exactly what it is, exactly what you'd be looking at. And in the end result, we are pretty sure, sorry, I'm going different directions here. The end result relies in what you do see. And so the things that you won't see here is this tree in the front, this cream crepe myrtle. We're adding a little bit of pop. That's not a native. But what we did with the non-natives is get them something that's decorative, something that's cheerful, something that's colorful. We also brought in a Bismarck palm on this side. We think that's a very architectural piece. You can see the Bismarcks behind at their height. This is a little smaller, but just to kind of continue with what's already on the property and add it to what we're going to add.
Greg, maybe you want to mention what we did for the southern neighbor, you know, how we treated that area to
Well, we started with the live oak trees, and that's really the biggest buffer right there. Of course, we're buffering the screening the fence that is already there. But, of course, when you're on the other side of a fence, you can't see over the fence unless you're on an upper story. So if you're on an upper story and you look over, you get this wall of oak trees. Beyond that, we're buffering the fence. We got the oak trees, and that pretty much is going to solve any kind of issues that they would have from a screening point of view. From everyone else, we go to the corner, the two main corners, and as you can see, you can look on the plans and then transfer that into these renderings. You can see, well, what you can't see, which is the building. The building is quite a bit smaller than the building that's there now, as you can tell. And what we've done is added to what is already there, moved all the good stuff that was there, and came up with these. This is the other corner. Here's Pine Tree and 40th. Again, there's a building behind there, and that's our building, and we love the fact that we designed it, but we also have all this buffering that's going to soften it from everybody's point of view. And then, of course, we've got the pedestrian entrance that was requested by you all. It's kind of a little mini Stonehenge in a sense, but very modern, making the same feel that the building does, and also kind of bringing that entrance and attractiveness and access to the property from that side.
With the same material, of course, that the entrance on the other side. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So I think that concludes our presentation. We're open for questions.
Before we go to public comment, I just want to make one correction. I didn't realize that they had changed the location of that pedestrian gate from 40th Street from the prior meeting. That will have to be pushed back to align with the building to comply with the setback requirement. So you're showing it closer to the street. You'll just have to push that back to align with the building because this is a single-family zoning district. So that's the setback along the north side. And then just want to update our recommendation in terms of the conditions. We had noted that they're proposing a synthetic vine on the west side. We're going to recommend that be removed and replaced with real vines that can just grow up, you know, below the window height, not over the, entire area, but just the landscape area that's required to have natural vines growing rather than having any sort of artificial landscaping on the building. With that, we do have one caller online with her hand raised. The name is Steph. Steph, are you there? And before you speak, we'll need to swear you in. Actually, I think they've lowered their hands. With that, I see nobody else with their hand raised online. And nobody in chambers.
Okay, I'm now going to close the public portion and open it up to the board for discussion. Anybody like to begin? Michael, can you clarify the moving of this gate where, you know, maybe on page 3 of the presentation is where exactly you're going to...
Michael, sorry, on that portal, you wanted us to move back, but as being part of the fence, it can be within the setback, correct?
No, the maximum height of a fence within the setback is going to be 7 feet. So in order to create the impression that you want to have that portal, it will have to be set back to align with the setbacks of the building. And that's where you were showing it, I think, in December. You were showing it. You had the walkway from the street. You walk through the landscaping. You would just move that entire structure back to align with the building.
And yeah, okay, we can do that, sure.
If you can bring up page one of the landscape plans, yeah, or that's the rendering. If you can bring up one of the site plans.
Maybe page 4?
Right here, that'll work. So now, if you look at the top left part of the screen, they're showing it very close to the front property line. That'll be pushed back to continue sort of the wall of the building. The building wall will continue to create that portico.
Perfect. I understand. Yeah.
I'm glad you made that. That was my one comment about the proposal, that the entrance gate seemed a little bit too much, just sort of sitting there. But if it's closer to the building, I think it's going to solve that concern. It just seemed a little too overbearing.
Yeah, the problem was the height. If not, would have been a nice feature there. Like Greg said, like kind of a Stonehenge.
I think it's also nice to continue the building. So it's like you're walking, you know, into the building versus walking just in the separate element.
Yeah, that was the original intention. The reconfiguration of the parking didn't allow that same size to fit right where we had it. So we adjusted it to fit the fence line without taking into account the setback as it's an overhang rather than just a fence.
Yeah, actually, we're going to have to, and that was something that happened, you know, because of the parking, we are so tight there that the feature didn't fit there. So now I'm going to have to take the other route, that is to reduce the building by maybe 2 feet.
Well, you have a notch there at the corner, so I think you have some flexibility there, you know.
Yeah. Does it have to be connected to the building, or is it just have to be
within the
setback?
If you can speak up, just speak into
the... Does it have to be connected? Actually physically connected?
I think there should be some sort of connection to the building.
Not just a fence, you're saying?
Right. But I think you can do that. You can easily connect it by an extension of the building wall.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
So I have a couple comments. You have the same cladding on the entrance gate as you do on the front of the building. Is that the same material?
No, just the main gate is just a specific design for the gate. I mean, in the entrance... We have a different setup. I mean, we have aluminum storefront with,
it's clad in tile or something.
Well, both are stone.
Is it clad. The same stone
yeah,
or not?
Yeah, the same.
So to me, the pattern seems weird that you have different patterns. I think you should do the same pattern on both of those.
Maybe we did a different pattern by, you know, mistake or something, but the idea is to have the same material.
And the other thing, as the non-architect, I'm just going to say what's on my mind. To the left of the entrance, you have that scored stucco and a square window versus all the other vertical covered windows. And it just seems random to me. especially with the different pattern on the entry. It just seems random. So I just, architect might want to speak to that, but that is, I appreciate your landscaping, by the way. That is important. I think you have a lot of great landscaping. I don't know that, I hate fake vines, so I would be against that, but I don't think real vines halfway up the wall does the same principle either, and I don't think they'll be maintained well. So those are my comments.
Can I ask question? Can I ask a question? On that same sheet of the materials palette, I think it's 22, there's the blue squares that say jw.org. Is that, those are placards that are going to be on the wall in the two locations?
That is their typical JW organization logo. You know, so we just place it there. We haven't really got into the permitting aspect. I mean, size and everything. But they use a very small size. It's very, you know.
Nondescript.
Exactly. Very small and subtle. Very subtle.
Can you talk to Scott's point about how, why some of the windows are square and some of them are rectangular? Was that a...
Let me go to that elevation. That elevation? Well, you see...
I think it's on two different... It's on this one, and then there's another elevation with it as well.
That one too.
Sorry, that one was the one I was looking at, the one before that you just had. So all the windows on the right have the cladding and they're vertical rectangles, and the one on the left is square and no cladding, and then you have this, the scored stucco. So it just seemed incohesive to me. But I wanted you guys
and
to
see. And it's on the other side too.
Well, depending how you look at it, you can look at it as, you know, being why it's different, whereas we look at it as providing a different element that goes in a different architectural setting. For instance, the one on the left, you have the square of the building because it's a volume that is set back. So the opening plays with the volume. Whereas on the other side, we have a different format. So you have some variety that, you know, doesn't have to be all the same.
I think it also plays, too, that you have a different space. You have, like, the auditorium space to the right.
That too.
To the left, it's left of the entry, and it's a meeting room, so it's a different, you have a different function.
That too, sure.
So it just seems to me, if you're going to do something different, do something more boldly different than just kind of too plain. I don't see any inspiration with that. That's all.
I'm on the same side here. I'm not an architect either. However, that doesn't bother me. I sort of like the way it is, especially after the explanation of the uses of the each side of the building, and the fact that the left side, the west side, is pushed back. So you're trying to meet the volume of that area that is pushed back, that seems to be more square, versus the one on the east side is more of a rectangular structure. But, Michael, the reason that they're before us today is concerning the green space.
Well, it's two factors. The one is that because it's a new building in the zoning district here that requires review, as well as for the variance regarding the pervious space.
Right. So on the pervious space, I'm looking at the proposed lot coverage is proposed at 14%, which is far less than what they currently have now.
Right, so they're well under the maximum lot coverage.
Yeah.
The code requires that that landscaping for a front yard or a side facing a street be comprised of 50% landscaping, and they're just deficient on the side facing. Let's see, on Sheridan.
Yeah. However, if we go to, let's see, what page
they
this might, is.
They make up for it for the landscape area along
I think one of
40th
the first,
Street and Pine Tree.
Correct. They currently have an existing 11,795 square feet of green area, and they're proposing 13,674. square feet. So they're basically going increasing by 2,000 square feet of green space, whether it's in the front, sides, back. I think because of the change in the whole architecture of the building, I think I commend them for putting in more green space. And I don't have a problem with the fact that it's missing a few percentages in the front.
I think you'll remember, maybe some of you will remember, when this came before the board several years ago and it was denied, the building was located in a different location, and this provides more flexibility in the future. So if they wanted to, they could actually sell off the southern lot and, you know, construct a single-family home there and keep the structure on the northern lot. So this site plan does allow more flexibility for the future if their needs, you know, change as well. Because right now they're reducing the size of the building that's there now by over half. Right now the building that's there is just too large for them. So that's the main reason why they're coming before you, is to provide a much smaller building.
And also going from a two-story to a one-story, that is a big block of cement right now on that corner.
Right.
I commend you guys as well for sort of reducing the footprint. And, you know, I think there is more greenscape. It is still just a large parking lot, but at least you've taken the effort to really think through the landscape and the relationship. But I also agree with Scott's comments on, and it's not just the one elevation that you pointed out, but as you look around the elevations, you know, I understand there's different programs happening within the different volumes, but there's typically, you know, like we set datums, and those datums help terminate or begin or link different elements as they move around the building. But I'm also a little confused on sort of several datums that you've set, and I'm looking at the west elevation. I guess it's on page 27, and so it would be also coming around the corner from what Scott was pointing out. You still have the volume on the right. You have the scored stucco, I assume, and I'm not sure, you know, the scoring scale seems a little off. I don't know if the scoring is there to sort of provide an accent or make it different, but it doesn't feel like it's doing enough of making it different if it's supposed to sort of make that form stand out. And then again, just the datum of the window, even though it's square, it doesn't align with anything as you trace it along the west elevation. And if you come back to the north elevation, well, no, where's the south? The south on page 26, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't look like even it's the head of that window aligns with the other windows. And then on the south elevation, you have a series of eyebrows, but they also shift and are offset, along with the louvers that are over sort of the stone volume that I believe is the entry. So I guess my comment would be, I think overall from a partee standpoint, it's very thoughtful, you know, where you place the building, engaging sort of the corner, greening up the site while providing the adequate amount of parking. But I kind of feel like the verb or the term you use, nondescript, actually kind of describes the proposal here. And when you do remove the landscape, there doesn't just seem to be sort of a language or a rhythm or an expression that tells us what this building is or what it's trying to be. And I don't know, you know, if it's because of sort of the variety of language of apertures and then elements, eyebrows, datums, et cetera. So I don't know if there's a way to sort of streamline that and bring focus onto one of the materials. And back to the point of the representation, let me go to material palette. You don't really, the pedestrian entrance is gray stone. That's really the only image we start to see there, and we don't understand the coursing, but the way that stone is represented on page 25 versus the way that the stone is represented on the mass on the south elevation, you know, I think it's very different. And I think, again, that coursing, the scale, the rhythm, it needs to tie into the other elements of the building and sort of set a language.
I think to extend your point, too, that to make sure that the entrance, well, I guess now because you have to rework the entrance gate, to make sure that that is in maybe the same, not just the same material, but the same pattern as the entrance, correct, you know, facing south versus the entrance on 40th Street as a way to unify it. And I agree with Shana. That was one of the things I noticed, too, that the eyebrows were a little bit off kilter. They were almost at the edge of the door, but they weren't quite there, and I wasn't sure if that was just an issue with the drawing or that's how it is.
Yeah, we had noted that last time. If we don't have a condition, you know, we did have a condition that was in there saying to normalize and provide consistency with the overhang of those eyebrows, because they are shifting. They don't line up with the window. They're offset on one side or the other side. I agree that, you know, adding a condition regarding having a datum point for the headers of the windows to align or the base, and having the score lines for the stucco, you know, be consistent and be tied to, you know, the eyebrows or the windows and the overall proportions and shape. So I do agree, mm-hmm, that those are all minor details that I think we could work with the applicant on if the board wanted to approve, yeah, the application.
I agree. And I think, too, you know, to Scott's point, too, I think that either make maybe all the – I think – the fact that the square window in the square section, I think that works well with the volume that it punctures. And I would say with the ones that are rectangular, either maybe do, again, I agree with Scott's point of like really make it, if you want to have a difference, really make it different, or just make, you know, you could do something that would add to the rhythm instead of maybe three, maybe have four and make them thinner and taller, whatever it is. But that's a good opportunity for it, or just make them all square, or at least consistent, because it is, it's right there and it's not that big.
But you see, the concept that we tried to implement here was to create different ambiances, yeah, different volumes, because of also the different functions. So,
which I think is a good, I think that that's a good instinct, and if that's the direction that you want to go, well, we're. You need a little bit more. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is, don't, you know, don't hold back.
Yeah.
Which we don't often say. And I agree with Michael, too, about the plastic vine. Yeah, it's not typically something that we approve. So, but that's another opportunity to create, you know, an interesting feature.
Could you pull up page 24, the west elevation?
What are you looking at the presentation?
Oh.
What's there?
Oh, I guess there. It says architectural binder. I don't know. Yeah. Why not the... That's, I'm looking at that drawing. Is that not page 24?
Yeah. In the architectural binder?
Oh.
Page 24? Oh, but I guess that there...
Is oh. That, it is. Yeah, that's the elevation.
Is the one that is on the screen? Page west six. Elevation?
Okay.
Page 6 up to the...
Well, that's the drawing I wanted to reference. I guess I think for me this elevation sort of exemplifies maybe the comments that we're starting off. Even on the volume to the right, where you're trying to express something different, we see the eyebrow, but then as we go around to the south, there isn't an eyebrow. I know those are used for, you know, water protection or shading, and that would be appropriate for both the south and the west. But I also wonder, is there a moment where these walls become thickened and the window sets back in the wall, and just by, you know, the sort of minimum depth of that eyebrow, you could accomplish the same thing with sort of a detail of the window at that moment, right? So it's clearly something is detailed different. But then here, this is also where the datums to me are very hard. The eyebrows that you are showing sort of slightly offset, and then even though we're not going to have the synthetic green finish, you're still trying to create a rhythm in that wall, and I appreciate that, but that language doesn't happen anywhere else. Like, if you did that language on the other volume with the large window, I guess you're just introducing so many different architectural languages. I don't know what the identity of the building is. And then the low wall, that's 6 feet high. Sorry if I missed it, but why? What is it doing?
That is a kind of service patio where we have the air conditioning unit, so we're screening all that. And I wanted to say on that facade, it's very particular, that facade, because it's where the pedestrians are going to walk right next to the building, too close to the building for comfort. You know, so we wanted to dress it up to make something, you know, interesting while they walk by. And, you know, the eyebrows or bring those kind of language into that particular wall, it didn't fit. Because if we have anything protruding, it's kind of, obstructive for the circulation there. Because it's very tight. Because of the parking rear adjustment that we had to do, we are caught between the setback on Pine Tree, the building, that little path, and then the parking. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be clear. I'm never suggesting to add eyebrows to the design. So that was not my intent. But even where you are showing the hatch for the green, so everything around that is a flat stucco with a couple different shades of, off-white or dove gray. But, what if there was a combed stucco in those recessed spaces and that same combed stucco occurred on the volume to the right? So, again, you're setting things apart, but they're sharing an architectural language. These are just my suggestions. I agree with the comment earlier that maybe with conversations with Michael they can be resolved.
And is everybody okay? It seems like everybody is okay with the variance of the thing. Do we have a motion? Any other comments? Maybe a motion to work with staff?
Should we take up the variance? Should we take up the variance?
Yeah, we should add two motions. We should do one motion for the design and then a separate motion for the variance.
Okay, everybody's fine with the design, subject to.
Well, I think we're going to have the comments that Shauna mentioned regarding the design incorporated as conditions of approval.
Yeah, so work with staff.
Okay, what?
Work with staff to refine the design.
What she said. I so move.
Do you have a second on that application?
A second.
Second by Ms. Meyer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 5-0.
And I move to approve the variance.
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Meyer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's all been approved. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Board. Thank you.
And are you're clear about what the direction of the refinement? I think overall we like the concept and just...
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we will meet to go through the conditions and go over the design changes that will be needed.
I also wanted to say, too, that I appreciate not just the reusing of the landscape and the sensitivity to the native plants, but also it seemed like... you're being a really good neighbor by providing the trees and, a real. So thank you.
That was our main concern, actually.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item in the agenda is DRB 23-0983, 34 Star Island Drive. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story home, including one or more waivers and a variance from the maximum allowed height for an elevator bulkhead to replace an existing two-story home.
Thanks, Giselle. As noted in our report, the applicant is requesting two design waivers related to the open space requirements for two-story side elevations that exceed 60 feet in length. We would note that this applies to both the south side as well as the north side of this property. And this property on Star Island is quite unique in terms of the depth that it has, which is 400 feet. The typical lot for Star Island is 100 feet wide and 400 feet deep. So with these types of lots, it does necessitate some design waiver, some variance from the typical maximum length of 60 feet. We do believe that the elevations have been adequately developed. We are supportive of the two design waivers. In addition to the design waiver request, the applicant is requesting a variance for the height of the elevator bulkhead to go 3 feet beyond the 10 feet that is otherwise required. This type of variance has been granted in the past for these types of large estate lots. The location of the elevator is located internal to the site. It should not have an impact on any surrounding neighbor or the neighborhood. We are supportive of the variance, which has also been typically granted by the board for other similar sites of properties on Star Island. With that, we are recommending approval of the application. I'll turn it over to the applicant for their presentation.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. For the record, Wes Hevia, LSN Law Office at 3800 Northeast First Avenue, Suite 200, Miami, Florida, on behalf of the applicant owner, JLSA Star LLC. I'm also joined today by project architects Schofield v. Fishman and With me today is Mr. Paul Fishman, Ralph Choff, Alejandro Miranda, also our landscape team, Christopher Cawley, Landscape Architecture. Christopher Cawley is present. And then the rest of the LSN Law team, Lizbeth Bueno and Kendrick Meek Jr. And on behalf of the team, we're very pleased to present the subject application for an exceptional new single-family home on 34 Star. Could I just bring up the presentation, please? So to quickly review the order of the presentation as IT brings up the slides, I'm just going to go through some of the technical requests up front and then turn it over to the project architects to jump into the design. First, I would say it's important for context that we briefly review the unique size and configuration of the platted lots here in Star Island, as Michael alluded to. These are some of the largest lots in Miami Beach, but also some of the longest and narrowest from a relative perspective. 34 Star is no exception. It's platted as Lot 34 in Star Island Plat. It's 100 feet wide by 400 feet long. Same is true of the property directly to the south and obviously many other properties on the island. This configuration provides opportunity for some really great prominent homes, as you all know, but it also presents some design challenges given the exceptional lot lengths. And it's just important to keep those dimensions and factors into consideration as we discuss the waivers that we're going to be presenting. First, I'll jump into the variance request. As Michael alluded to, it's for an elevator bulkhead to, instead of going to 10 feet, would go to 13, which represents obviously a 3 feet difference. And this slide illustrates the cross section of that, what that additional 3 feet would represent. It's really de minimis given the scale and the placement of the elevator on the site, which we'll show in other slides, is located in the center of the building massing. Obviously, very large lots. Again, keep that in mind. But the 3 feet is essential from the functionality perspective. These bigger homes require bigger elevators, and newer elevator technology requires this additional height. We can get into that more in our presentation. It's also referenced in the staff report and discussed at length. Staff does support the variance request. And I should say, it's just to reiterate, it's a very common request in Star Island specifically. We did the research, and there's six or seven other properties that have obtained this same variance approval. The second sort of unique technical request that we're making are the waivers, one on the north elevation and one on the south elevation, to waive the requirement for these open space called breaks or notches every 60 feet along the minimum side setback line, which are required to be at least 8 feet in depth and constitute no less than 1% of the total lot area. So breakups every 60 feet. There are two locations, as shown in red on this slide, where we're not meeting that 60 feet specifically, but as shown in green, there are large expanses of open areas that we believe more than counterbalance the waiver request. And we can get into that more in our presentation. And with that, I'll turn it over to the design team. For the record, we agree to all staff's conditions, and we obviously request a favorable review. Thank you.
Thank you, Wes. Paul Fishman, Choff Levy Fishman, 8425 Biscayne. We had a client come to us with a very unique request, and I think that really needs to be spoken about on the forefront of this project. He has a vast car collection and has now made Miami his forever home, and he requested a car museum. And so I would like to speak about the red herring first, and then we can get more into the site plan, et cetera. So when he came to us, he wanted this plan. He wanted these cars to actually be visible from every single space in the house. So obviously with a 400-foot deep lot, that was quite the challenge, because we weren't sure how exactly to bring these cars into the house itself. So we took that as a challenge, accepted. So what we did is we actually created a promenade between the car museum and the main residence, and in between there we're providing a courtyard that's I think it's triple, it's about 1,200 square feet, triple the 400 square foot requirement. Just to speak to Wes's point, how we're overcompensating a little bit, but but you then pass through a car promenade that then travels to the interior of the house. And this gave us the opportunity to be able to show our client with his very specific cars that he likes to look at and he's a big fan of. He wants to see them from every space in the house. So we created a little car display that connected to the car museum, brings it in the house, and as you can see, that really allowed us to be able to enjoy, you know, the feature car from even right when you walk in the main entrance there on the, you can see on the south side of the lot. You can see right when you walk in, we have 20-minute fire-rated glass on all three sides so that we can still meet the building code as well as do something as different for a single-family residential building. The main residence you'll see all the typical amenities. We have a double height space that you walk into that's encapsulated the staircase. Also, that our car display is actually a double high space as well, so that can be viewed from, which we'll get up to in a second, from the second floor. The main residence consists of a big great room, dining, living, and what we're calling as a flex room, but really it's more of a lounge that our client wants to grow. As he ages, he understands that's going to take that room could evolve and take different shapes. As far as the site plan, you know, one of the biggest challenges we had is obviously a 100-foot wide lot with a request of a car museum on the property. So what we were able to do, we kind of had to take a balance of being able to maximize the distance of the car museum because that actual interior space is required as part of the program, while actually creating a usable driveway. And really, our client is a very private person. He doesn't have parties. He doesn't have a lot of events. And so this is all very designed for him. So you'll even notice, and you'll see it more as we get into the renderings, there's only one access for a car to get in here. This isn't going to look like a garage. This looks more like the Philip Johnson glass house surrounded by a beautiful, warm, soft, tropical modern architecture. We have fire. Our client really likes fire. He really likes water, and he really likes natural light. So, throughout this project, we have some double height spaces. We've got a 45-foot skylight on the second floor. We've got skylights in the guest bathrooms. We're using frameless hurricane impact glass for all the fixed windows, which I'm not sure. You guys have seen the Slimpak product in my in South Florida. It's a beautiful product. It's exactly what us Miami architects have all aspired to be able to do, to have frameless glass. So this whole house, the majority of it will all be done with frameless glass. And the only really styles and metal you'll see will be on the sliding glass doors. So the second floor, we have a carriage house on top of the car museum, and that also creates a beautiful port of entry for the residents. We don't like on a 400-foot deep lot, we want to be able to sequence through the site and take different architectural experiences, different times of day, different times of year, etc. So we thought it'd be neat to bring that carriage house over the driveway so that when you do enter the project, you do get this 007 Bond feeling of driving underneath the house and then appreciating the car museum. And as you get towards the main house, the main residence, et cetera, et cetera. So just to give you a brief program of upstairs, and again, this is very unique, the carriage house has four very modest-sized bedrooms. These are for his kids who are grown up, and they're his future grandkids. So so all the bedrooms, with the exception of his own, are on that side of the house. Just so you can see how we're really zoning this property. Oh wow!
How many more minutes do you need?
Four, three,
if
two.
If you could do it, yeah. You know what? You're the last one. So.
So just real quick, we have a out on that same part of that building. We have a full size gym, indoor spa, and an outdoor spa with a hot spa and cold plunge with an outdoor shower. On the main residence, the entire second floor, essentially as you see it, is his primary suite. With the exception of the theater and some back of house, so a little low voltage electrical room that I have over there. So with that said, I'd like to just briefly walk you through the rendering. Or actually, and this is just another point I would like to make is the dimensions of the elevator bulkhead. We measured them before the hearing. They're 257 feet from the front property line, 118 feet to the rear property line, 55 feet from the north property line, and 34 feet 5 inches to the south property line. So I know that we've had other projects before where we haven't been able to locate it this centrally as central, but we thought it'd be very important to really show those numbers so you guys can see we took this in consideration when designing. So this is the roof deck. You can see the giant skylight that I have over the second floor and a very modest size, accessible roof deck with just loose furniture. So I think this axon really tells a very these axons tell a great story of the site and all the movement, and I think just something that the black and white drawings and two-dimensional drawings can't really achieve. So this really shows the play on light, the play on fire, the play on shadow, the play on shade. Likewise with this aerial, you can even just reference the house just to the south of it. You can see how much more massive it is and bulky, et cetera, et cetera. You can really see how we're playing with the architecture in a very tectonic way and creating a lot of movement, not just in elevation, but in plan. It's coming through. This is the carriage house, and those are the guest suites above. We wanted to play with the architecture a lot. So we juxtaposed two angles or two L's, if you will. Created a very floating, very light element, so it's very inviting for your car to want to go right underneath that. You'll see we have water features on one side, and I think this is where you really start to experience, we'll call it like the Philip Johnson Car Museum. I mean, we have a 100-foot video wall. Within that car museum, we have the 100-foot video wall, which in this next slide you'll start to be able to perceive more. So you can see all the frameless glass. We're already well underway with our structural engineering, so what you see is what you get. This isn't going to deviate. We've actually been working at great lengths with the glazing manufacturer to get this effect. This would be from the front of the main house looking back at the car museum and looking at the back of the carriage house. And as you can see, we're doing a lot of that frameless glass everywhere because really this project's all about technology, landscaping, light, and all this fun stuff. So one element I do, one of the environmental design strategies I like to use on our projects are both vertical and horizontal baffles. And so if you can see on this little central area that connects essentially the main house to the guest house, we do that because at different times of year we have high sun angles, different times of day we have high sun angles at different and likewise with low sun angles. And what these are called architectural spider legs. It's a very mid-century modern motif. And what we're using them for is more for not only for aesthetics, but actually more for the environmental design. We want to create a dynamic light. Once you're in that corridor, we want you to feel we want you to feel like you're walking through a piece of kinetic art that changes every time you walk through it. This is the main entrance of the house, which I'll actually use this to talk briefly about the materials, which I have represented right here. On the bottom, the dark bronze material on the bottom left, that's all cladded Alucobond. On the slim pack product is the frameless glass below that. Above that is the lighter stone, which we're looking at a very light smoked travertine, and then we have a couple equals that look very similar, but we have the sample right there. And then we have the aluminum battens. So CLF loves wood battens. Our client.
Are you going to?
Yeah. Courtyard.
Please explain, though, why it's aluminum versus wood.
Yeah. This is a specific request from the client. He does not want the maintenance, as you know, CLF. And also, we've taken a big shift in our firm recently as it relates to these South American hardwoods. I'm sure everybody can do the reading on it right now. Even ones that are claiming that they're certified or not certified, and people are putting stickers around. So we're really trying to get away from that from a sustainable standpoint. Aluminum being probably, the most recycled material in the construction industry. We like to use that. And then on top of that, the ability to not have to deal with our client. He wants, I think a landscape architect said, there's no such thing as a no-maintenance house, but he wants a low-maintenance house. And with all these elements, that's one. I can tell you on all our houses that have the IPE, even if we go with the 6-part Sikkens, they're having to update it every six to eight months maximum. So it's a matter of having full-time staff oiling your IPE the entire stay. So with that, I'll zip it.
If there are any other important highlights that you want to share with us, but I mean, I could tell you're very proud of this design.
No, I know. We're very humbled by this design. Very humbled to be in front of you. But I think you guys all have us out. Have the packages. I was able to get through as much as I could. So let us know if you have any questions.
Thank you.
And just two minor housekeeping items. One, our landscape architect is here if you have any questions. And two, there is one minor typographical error in the draft order. It should reflect the subject property, not.
Yeah, we had the wrong address for the under the conditions. Yeah, we'll correct that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other members of the public wishing to speak?
And there's nobody with their hand raised online.
Okay. I'd like to close the public portion and open it up to the board for discussion. Who would like to start? Do you want to start?
I'm going to go second.
Okay. I can start. Well, I think that you've done a really good job giving your client exactly what he wanted. This is definitely, and I appreciate you answered a lot of questions that I had about, you know, what was, yeah, about the unique design features of this property. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't, you know, really have, having had projects on these lots come to us before, I understand that the dimensions are a little bit different. And, you know, with the elevator, you know, I almost feel like it is a little bit too tall to be in proportion to the rest of the structure. But, you know, I'm not opposed to it. You know, it doesn't seem like anybody's going to see it. You're right, there's a precedent. I'm not against the variance. It would just be more a design consideration. But it seems like you have some limitations with the elevator choice. So that was just my thoughts. And in terms of, again, the 60-foot, also, you know, it doesn't really bother me as much considering, you know, what the design is, what the size of the lot is, the reasons behind it, et cetera, et cetera. So
I'll speak, and I agree with what was just said. I don't have a problem because of the existing homes right now on Star Island that do exceed the height limitation because of the elevator, and because it's not going to be really visible from the street or the neighbors so much. As to the sides, I don't have a problem because although it doesn't have an opening within that 60 feet, you do have massive openings on the side that sort of give it that opening that they're looking for, that I think the code was looking for. So I am fine with the two variances that are being requested, or three.
I think it's a variance.
And one variance waivers. And two waivers.
Okay. Correct.
I'm just going to quickly address the variance. I essentially concur with the comments that have been made. This is a variance that we grant to other people, and I concur with staff's analysis that there are practical hardships, and moreover that the placement of the elevator in the center of the property tends to mitigate that. So I do support the grant of the variance.
Also, I understand the length on the sides and the relief in the design plan. You know, I think the way the house, the design proposal is, it's in good faith trying to address that. So due to the scaling up, I think I have zero issues with either variance either. I mean, you said you wanted to address sort of the elephant in the room at the beginning. I think, you know, whatever the client's desire is, we can't change that. And I think if they, you know, are a car collector with a car showroom, that's great. I think, though, that, like, as architects, that you talked a lot about, you know, decisions and values that your firm has, and what are those decisions and values that you're bringing to the project and to every client that you have. And I do think it's hard for me to hear, you know, the client values outdoors, the client values water, air, fire, you know, essential elements of our environment. But there really isn't an environmental response or, you know, any sort of ecological response in the architecture or thinking about that. So I don't think that, you know, yes, you made the statement that ePay is not great. I agree. There's also thermally modified wood that's harvested in the USA, oak, whatever, you know, different poplar, whatever graining you're looking for, you can find aluminum may be recycled, but it's not renewable. Wood is. And those are just one small moment where, sure, maintenance is an issue. I don't believe it's full-time staff oiled. I just am repeating these things because you said them, and I can't let them just go without being acknowledged. I mean, what is the maintenance of this, you know, 100 or 200-foot, you know, LED screen on the inside? Like, where are the values? And I think, you know, we should just call a spade a spade. And I'm okay doing that if as long as we're doing that. But I wish that there was a little bit. You use the term softer, soft architecture, soft, you know, tropical modernism. And I agree in some of your movements along the bridge with the spider legs, you know, the rhythm. There's thought clearly into this design, which is all we can ask for. But I do think that there could be a stronger sort of value stance in what the architecture offers back to maybe the profession or the community. But I'm also a hopeless romantic, so maybe I'll end there. Oh, does this slim pack have an NOA, or are you getting an OT?
Yeah, it's had an NOA, I believe, for about 10 years. Okay. You start seeing it. Now they have the super giant panels, which we're also doing on the island as well. So it's that was actually Michael's first question when we had a pre-app meeting.
Okay.
So we actually had slim pack send us samples, and they're here over on the board, so you can have them.
I'm also amused that this private person is building a glass house, and that there's so few solid walls. You explained it a little bit that he wanted to see his cars, but it was not lost on me in the design that everybody is going to see everything that's happening in this house at all times, which, again, it seems like this is what makes the client happy. There's definitely going to, you know, what is saved in landscaping maintenance budget is certainly going to be added to the glass window cleaning budget.
I can't disagree. But, but just to speak, just to respond real quickly about everybody being able to see in, we actually have the front setback is actually at 61 feet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're, and Chris Colley's here if you guys have any questions, but the landscape, the idea is that really nobody's going to see in but him. On the back, he retired and he's a fisherman now. So he's going to have his boat. So he's going to be looking at his boat and in the skies. So it has been strategically thought out somewhat. It wasn't just plopped there, but I agree. It is going to be a very visible, but that's why we have window treatments.
Like I said, I think you definitely, the scene, you did exactly what your client asked you to do in a nice way. So it's nice. Scott, do you have any comments? comments?
I mean, just I have to go to resale, and you have a 12-car garage or something that's all glass. It would be nice to plumb that or do something so you could do something else with it later when the next buyer buys that house.
No, absolutely. I mean, the intention, I mean, he has no intention of ever selling this house, and that's one of the things we wanted to bring up on the front end. And but, yeah, it's something to be considered. We're actually working with our contractor even to provide some additional stub outs, et cetera, et cetera. So God forbid if he ever does change his mind, we don't have to start knocking walls down.
Well, and I will also say, too, having been on the board for, I guess I'm in my fifth year, this isn't even the most eclectic house that we've seen from you on Star Island. So this is pretty tame in comparison. So, okay.
Ralph presented my last one.
Yep, from years ago. I still remember that one. And then it never got built.
Yeah, Ken Griffin bought the land.
I was really excited. Yeah, I wonder if you could look at the design. Myra, do you have any other?
No.
Anyone else? Does want to make a motion?
And again, I think we need, two motions, one for the design and one for the design and the waivers, and then one for the variance.
I make a motion to approve the design inclusive of waivers.
Second
by Ms. Balakavoli. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 5-0.
And I make a motion to approve the variance.
Seconded again by Ms. Balakavoli.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Congratulations.
Thank you, board. Thank you all. We appreciate time.
Thank you.
With that, I think we can conclude our meeting. Our next meeting is April 2nd, and the April 2nd meeting will be again here in the commission, in the convention center, and hopefully going forward, it'll be in the back in the commission chambers at City Hall for the May meeting. And again,
on April 2nd?
April 2nd.
We're back.
April 2nd, we're here. In May, we'll be back at City Hall, hopefully. And then Rogelio Madan, our development and resiliency officer, will be in my place taking. We're swapping positions. I'll be going back to planning board, and he'll be coming to the DRB with Giselle.
I'd like to officially say thank you so much for all of your hard work and guidance over the years that we've been on the board.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's been very, very helpful. And yeah, thank you very much for all that you've done.
Thank you.
And we also appreciate that you're not leaving.
Yes, I'll still be here.
Exactly. We'll see you in the hall. Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Is there a motion to dismiss, or do we have to do
motion to dismiss?
Thank you.
Or to adjourn.
Second.
We're dismissed.
We're dismissed.
Thank you.